Come on. Are you ready? Welcome to Dave and Mahoney.
Mahoney, do you buy your avocados in bulk?
Yeah. I mean, like six at a time. I think that's how they come. They come in a bag.
Do you get them from Avocosco?
Avocado. Like, seriously, you went backwards in that conversation to bring up Avocosco's.
That's pretty
simple. Worth backing it up?
Worth it.
How would you talk to a puppy? I'm curious your dog talking voice.
Oh, most baby voice ever. Oh, look at that those little sweet poos.
What did you call her?
I'm about to catch a charge, man. Dave and
Mahoney. Audrey's dog eating the underwear. Did she hide her homework in it?
Yeah, I did have my homework. Lots of notes from the lore of sex past. I'm married now.
She's
so
allowed to have sex.
I'm allowed to have sex now. Oh, Jesus, that was a tough year.
I didn't even mean it like that. All right. Well, see you later.
All right. And now, this is Dave and Mahoney.
Hello, friends, and thank you for joining us on this Wednesday. Got some good news and some bad news to kick things off today. What would you like first there, Mahoney?
Dave, why don't we start off today's show with some bad news?
So I'm not plugged into the youths like I used to be. Audrey, maybe you can help me out here.
I'll try.
In fact, this may actually be a little bit past you. Have you ever heard of diet weed?
Ooh,
yeah, weed.
Diet weed.
There's
no such thing
as diet weed.
So it's suggesting that a whole bunch of high schoolers, when they did the survey of this, they said at least 1 in 10, 10% of all high schoolers in the United States are using what they call Delta 8 THC.
What?
And it's a psychoactive compound that, of course, is similar to marijuana, but it's different.
Okay.
And so Delta 8 is called diet weed. It's gained popularity amongst young people due to the promise of getting high without the anxiety. However, there's obviously
concerns.
So it's
just got THC in it? Or not THC, but CBD in it?
You're smoking like a whole bunch of chemicals is basically what it comes down to. So research that was funded by the University of Southern California found that 91% of 12th graders using Delta 8 also reported using marijuana, but they were using this as an alternative. And as it turns out, this stuff can be really dangerous.
No kidding.
You're smoking chemicals.
Yeah. And I mean,
like the weed spice from a few, like, you know, 10, 12 years ago. Like, what are you more? It's legal weed. It's getting me. Like, you don't know what's in that. Like, at least weed is
responsible.
We know
like
comes
we
from
were,
the ground.
We had a bag of shake and we were smoking it out of a Bic pen with tinfoil on it.
That's still healthier.
Is it?
Yes.
I've got microplastics in my lungs from smoking out of water bottles.
You smoked out of plastic water bottles?
Piece
of trash.
I had a friend that made a bong out of a milk carton. I was like, I'll try it.
A gravity bong?
Yes.
Dude, yes. So, yeah, kids.
You dumb kids. But that's just what getting older is that you look back, realize you're doing things that were very similar to you, but you cannot believe that they would ever do that.
Because our frontal lobe is like formed.
Yeah.
No, it's formed,
it's formed
now. So
yeah,
we're able to like be like, hey, that was probably a really dumb decision that we made.
Now you understand why parents always told you, I just don't want you to make the same mistakes I did.
Yes.
Yeah, get it. Some good news today as well. Finally, something good happened from being on Facebook.
Oh, yeah?
What's that? Normally doesn't happen. A 50-year-old woman from White Lake, Michigan discovered she had won $1 million Powerball prize because she actually saw a Facebook post about a winning ticket being sold at the Mexican Grill and Cantina, which is a very specific thing. I don't know who's going into the Mexican Grill and Cantina in Cantina in White Lake, Michigan. But she's like, hey, that's where I go. Hey, that's where I bought a lottery ticket. Sure enough, won $1 million in a Powerball prize.
Good for her.
Yep.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Show.
Mahoney, you and I have been fans of the UFC since the very beginning. In fact, you got really into Pride there for a while, where you actually bought all of the Pride. Were they still on cassette, or were they at least DVDs?
I had cassette and DVDs of all the Pride. I mean, combat sports, mixed martial arts. I mean, going back to when they had it banned in many places in the U.S., my friends and I would go to Blockbuster, rent like the UFC Knockouts 1.
Yep.
And we would have a party on Friday night. That's what we'll be playing. I mean, and the way that combat sports has evolved, I love the competition.
Let me just give you a picture of how old I am. When I had the same thing, the UFC Knockouts, and it was from the early days of the UFC, and it was on VHS tape. And I had a friend that had a bachelor party, and I thought, well, what better thing to bring with me to play in the limousine, because we got a limo that night.
With a VCR?
It had a VCR and one of those little boomerang things on the back. Just to give you an idea of how long
this
was.
The height of luxury, Dave.
And as it turns out, we may have been a little overserved. I forgot my VHS tape in the limousine.
No.
I know.
What a tip for that driver.
Also, all you could have just said was limo.
He just hit eject and he's like, jackpot, baby.
You should not be allowed in a limo if you are under the age of 30.
You should just should not.
If it's a white limo with a swimming pool in the back.
It's not as classy as you think.
It is not.
But going back to the early days of the UFC, of course, you remember Mark Coleman, who is a UFC Hall of Famer. You know, he's had his challenges over the years, but as of late, like, he's gotten sober. He's, like, working out a lot. I guess he's going to do some sort of celebrity boxing. Well, he found himself in the hospital, and it's because he's a real-life hero. So he's from Ohio, Toledo. And he rescued his parents from a house fire, like, dragged them out of the house. Sadly, the dog didn't even make it out. Just to give you an idea of, like, how significant of a fire this was. But he himself sustained serious enough injuries. He had to be airlifted to the hospital.
I mean, he's dealt with health issues over the last, you know, 5-6 years.
He's been very public about struggling with, you know, alcohol and everything else. But he'd really kind of turned it around as of late. And, you know, he had to be intubated and sedated at the hospital.
Is he doing all right now?
As far as we know, he's on the mend. But, I mean, it was real serious stuff where he had to run into a burning structure.
To save his parents?
To carry his parents out of
there. And then be airlifted himself?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, that is a true, absolute true hero.
Do you think he saw that same TikTok video we saw, Audrey, on how to pick up an unconscious person?
Oh, my God. Yes.
Did you see that video, too?
You showed it to me.
Oh, I didn't sure see.
You got to step on the toes, lay them flat, crunch the knees to the chest, step on the toes, and then lift them over your shoulder. I asked Mahoney if he would allow me to do that to him, and he said no.
That's probably for your own good.
You should start with, like, I don't know, Chris, who weighs 100 pounds less than me first.
Absolutely not. Fulson, I have so much delusional confidence.
How did Audrey die? Well, she was trying to fireman carry Mahoney, and he crushed her to death.
Workman's comp. That's what I'm after.
You're listening to Dave and Mahoney.
Oh, my God. With you people, shut up.
Dave and Mahoney. How do you really feel?
Tell us.
By calling the Dave and Mahoney Show voicemail
at 833-YO-DUMMY.
Why is it when guys get sick, they act like it's the plague?
Message deleted.
Because it is. Sometimes we just need a little tenderness and love, and also we're weak.
We are running so finely tuned and to our maximum of our capacity.
That's what it
is. At all times. Yeah. So any sort of hiccup throws our life into chaos.
Like your wife, for example, Dave, is not ever running at full capacity. So whenever she's able to feel sick, it's like, what? What do you mean?
Yeah, I mean,
why are you sick, lady?
The way that I view her is much like one of those, like, off-road trucks that you see doing, like, the Mint 400. You know, like, you can roll that bitch and still keep the race going.
An ATV?
Yeah. I'm more like
a Baja truck.
Like a Baja truck.
Okay.
Like, the wheels are always moving and the top stays.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Mahoney and I, we're much like F1 cars. Like, they're delicate pieces of machine that they perform at an incredibly high rate, but anything goes wrong and, you know, a manhole comes up and all of a sudden it's the end of the world.
Oh, I see. I like the analogies there.
Your wife would enjoy that? Nope, that's why I'm saying it before she's awake.
Please leave a message after the tone.
You know, Jennifer Aniston and Reese Witherspoon ought to be, you know, they may be cute and all that, but I don't care. There ain't no single person in this world worth $1 million a goddamn show. Not a single one of them. I don't give a shit. That is a bunch of crap.
Message deleted.
So Jennifer Aniston and Reese Witherspoon are making $1 million an episode for the morning show, as they should. Because isn't it Reese Witherspoon's company
it's her production company
that helps produce that?
Yep. And also, like, it's just the fair market price. Like,
so let me ask you about the NFL there, guy.
Yeah. We see all these new contracts coming down.
No, just know this.
You're mad at Reese Witherspoon for making $1 million an episode. Meanwhile, Kirk Cousins just got $180 million.
He's going to be Russell Wilson is getting paid out to not even play on a team anymore.
Kirk Cousins
is going to be that great.
Kirk Cousins is going to be the third highest paid quarterback of all time when this particular contract ends. We'll just say this. In the private, you know, in the world of, like, private business, nobody is paid more than they're worth. Know that.
Yeah.
There's nobody who is paid more than they're worth.
It's almost always universally the other way, where people are underpaid because they're being held hostage by needing benefits or not wanting to make a move or whatever it may be. Corporations will take advantage every single time.
If they're getting paid $1 million an episode, how much are the people who are running that company
making?
Getting paid?
I mean, it's Apple.
Way more than that. Trillions of dollars.
Apple's got the money, man.
Yeah, they're doing
Apple's
fine.
Apple's got the money.
They can pony up $1 million.
Jennifer Aniston is great. Like,
she is.
Who, so is Reese.
Who is mad? Yeah. I mean, I get at least Reese. There could be some things about Reese, like her getting pulled over when she was drunk.
Literally, you two are the only people who hold that over Reese's head. I never hear that from anyone else.
I have no problem that she got pulled over. Obviously, she made a mistake. She shouldn't have been drinking and driving. I love the fact that she was, "Do you know who I am?" to the cop. And he's like, "No." And then she's trying to explain that she's Reese Witherspoon.
I was in
Cruel Intentions. You know the movie?
Sweet Home Alabama.
Man, I love that movie.
That was a good movie. But like Jennifer Aniston on the other
side. Legally Blonde? Like,
Legally Blonde. I'm a lawyer.
Legally Blonde, too.
I'm taking you to court, sir.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Hey, which do you prefer? Do you prefer being a member of a club or walking into a bar? Just a regular bar.
Message deleted.
I don't know what it is. The dirtbag in me really loves like going to like a seedy dive bar, you know, where you don't know anyone. Just opening the door and just seeing what's ahead. I don't know why I like that because I feel like there's never really any upside to it.
I used to be like that.
Did you?
I used to love dive bars in my 20s. That's all I wanted to go and do until the one day I went to a dive bar and somebody called me a cougar. And I said, oh, okay, I don't belong here anymore.
And you were like 28 at the time?
And then I went to the W and they were like, you're not dressed appropriately. And I was like, I don't know where I belong anymore. Where's the middle? Where's the middle between the W and the dive bars?
That's where you go home,
Audrey. And I do. I am home.
You get a twisted T and you go home.
Dave and Mahoney.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Show.
Hell yeah.
They may not have all of their teeth, but they almost have 10 fingers. It's the Redneck Report. Dave and Mahoney.
I think we can all look around the room and be like, I've been in some crappy relationships. Most relationships end up being crappy one way or another.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a new level. This is, when you talk about an end boss, Mahoney, you know what I'm talking about in video games.
Yeah, the final boss.
Yeah, like this guy might be the final boss for being a crappy significant other.
What did he do, Dave?
His name is Eric Paul Johnson. He's 29 years old. He's from Melbourne, Florida.
EPJ?
Yep. He allegedly extorted $81,000 from his wife to support his drug habit by pretending to be involved with a drug cartel. So his wife reported him missing back in December of last year, claiming that he was being held for ransom by the Mexican cartel. She received messages from an unknown number demanding money, and they were saying, if you give us this money, we'll release him. Well, Johnson led his wife to believe that they were being blackmailed and that sending money to the Cash App account would ensure his safety. This wasn't the first time that he has disappeared for ransom, though, as he had previously done this due to debts owed to the cartel. Turns out he was making it all up, mm-hmm. and he admitted to sending the messages himself, revealing he had a cocaine problem, but denied involvement in drug sales, claiming he was only a personal user. I mean, $81,000 worth of cocaine is a hell of a habit, brother.
That's a bender.
Jeez.
Also, I didn't know that cocaine did that to your psyche. Like, I didn't know that you would want to be going on a coke bender to where you're, like, a part of the fake cartel and needing $81,000.
Well, this is your business idea. So, I mean, it kind of plays in together. Right? And also, like, I don't want to say that there's, you know, because she's the victim here.
Mm-hmm.
But he pretended to be abducted by the cartel once and you stuck with him.
But did she know the first time that it faked?
If you are abducted, if your significant other is abducted because they owe debts to any sort of cartel or gang, I don't know if they are relationship material.
Fair.
Like, I don't think some couples counseling can figure that one out.
She can fix them, though, you know?
So I did the math on it. That means that if this was over the course of 3.5 years and it was $81,000, that means he had about $2,000 a month coke habit.
I mean, that's not really that much.
That's a lot of cocaine, man. It's a lot of cocaine.
Not for coke users, Dave.
So a 70-year-old guy from Daytona Beach is in a little bit of trouble because there was a couple of teenagers that I guess knocked on his door, and who knows if they were being punks or they say they were just looking for their friend and knocked on the wrong house door. This dude, because we've seen a lot of this in the last, you know, handful of years where somebody knocks on somebody's door and people are so paranoid that they just like start squeezing off shots.
You don't knock on a door you don't know.
This guy...
You can.
You don't.
At 70 years old, came running out of the house with a sword to attack the teenagers.
I mean, that guy was having some flashbacks.
What is it, the castle doctrine? You know, here you go. He's got a sword. Build a moat next.
Oh, my gosh.
Fill him with alligators. Let's go.
Dave and Mahoney. Mahoney. It's the Dave and Mahoney Show.
I don't know if I believe this study. This is something that Audrey put into the prep, and I'm curious as to why. This is from menshealth.com.
Yeah.
Let me just read you the headline here. It is couples that fart together stay together, says research.
So I do not fart in front of my husband, and my husband does not fart in front of me. And I know that you are also a very shy farter as well.
And pooper, Dave. I'm not a fan of farting in front of my wife. And frankly, I don't love it when she farts in front of me.
But I thought this study was very interesting because it said that if you do this within the first 6 months of dating, you're like very likely to stay together for a very long time.
I don't know. So this is just my personal experience. I'm sure that they did a much more involved study of, you know, like how this works for couples. I will say that almost all of the couples that I know that aggressively fart in front of each other, like if it happens accidentally, it's funny, right? Because it's a little mistake. But if you're just aggressively farting in front of each other, at least in my personal experience, those couples never last.
That's untrue, Dave.
Do you aggressively fart in
Sometimes
front of your wife?
Sometimes I do. You know, I can't help. You know, I got a beast within.
Does she aggressively fart in front of you?
Beast within. I hate you for that.
Do you fart in bed?
I try not to, but sometimes you just can't help.
Well, again, like if it just happens, it happens. Does your wife fart in front of you?
I mean, not intentionally.
Not intentionally. Okay, so I'm just saying the couples that I know that like will leave the door open while they're pooping.
You're in bed at night. It's like 2 a.m. You're laying in bed. What are you doing? Like you feel that rumbling coming.
Well, that's like, so different than you just like sitting there cooking and then all of a sudden.
Again, how is that any different? You're way closer if you're in bed in a confined space than like if you're at
I'll say this, that again, talking just from personal experience, because I'm sure like whatever works for your relationship works for your relationship. Uh-huh. There's some people that are big advocates. In fact, we used to work with somebody that was like, no, you got to fart in front of your significant other. Otherwise, you guys aren't even close. And I'm like, do you though? I think it depends. Like for me personally, I would not love it if my wife was just busting ass all of the time when she knows that I don't particularly like it and I'm not comfortable with it.
Listen, I am the case study here. Mm-hmm. One husband I did fart in front of.
And?
And we are divorced.
Boom. See? Case closed.
Science.
The case study case seems closed. Seems to be, check it out.
You're listening to Dave and Mahoney.
You know the songs, but can you name them when they sound this bad? It's Cover Your Ears on Dave and Mahoney.
So today, for a round of Cover Your Ears, we are joined by Luke. Luke, thank you for being with us today. Are you ready to do this thing?
I'm excited.
Okay. 30 seconds on the clock.
Not ready, just excited.
Yeah. 30 seconds for each one of these. You're trying to figure out the original artist and song. Let the full 30 seconds play out before you make your guess. Got a couple lifelines if necessary. Good luck. Here is number one.
When you show you had enough of this life, well, hang on. Don't let yourself go.
Okay, before I tell you how many views that had, how many would you guess, Luke?
I mean, that's almost as good as the original, Dave.
It really is. How many views do you think that has on YouTube?
I'm going to guess like 3 or 4.
A little high, too.
Wow.
So as many as the original.
Yeah. Okay, do you know it?
I think I might need some help on that one.
Do you want to tag in Mahoney or Audrey? Both look like they can help you out.
I'll tag in Audrey.
Okay.
R.E.M., Everybody Hurts.
That's right.
Banger. Yeah,
two views from Tommy Boy Lambert, B-O-I-E. So well done.
Fun breakup
on that one.
Song. Fun breakup song. Yes. Yeah.
Okay, the next one here, we're going up a bit. 362 views on this one. Best of luck. We've heard the funky chicken before on Cover Your Ears. This is Funky Pig Friday. 362 views, which is much lower than some of the other ones from Funky Chicken. Luke, over to you. Do you know it?
I'm going to go with Dirty Deeds Done Dirt Cheap by AC/DC.
Yes, sir. Well done. So lifeline still intact for Mahoney. You've only got to get one more correct, and you're going to win this thing. The next one here, the most popular one of the day, 32,000 views from Tony Camel Music. You can win it right here if you can get this one. Here we go.
In my eyes, in this voice, in the sky, there's no one knows. Hides the face, lies the snake. In my disgrace, boiling heat, summer's dead, beat the black, the sky.
You know, I was a little skeptical there when it started, but he kind of had his own thing going.
Country version of that. I didn't hate that.
Kind of dug it.
Tony Camel, I hope you think he smokes?
I'm sure he does. He legally changed his middle name to Camel.
Joe's lesser known brother?
That's right. Okay, Luke, for the win, do you know it?
I'm not sure.
Oh, I know Mahoney's got you.
Mahoney's got it. For the dunk.
One of my favorites. That is Black Hole Sun from Soundgarden.
I thought that was Chris Cornell himself.
Did you?
From the dead.
Yeah.
Man, it was pretty good.
Man, not bad.
Dave and Mahoney.
Please leave a message after the beep.
Do you have a comment, complaint, or opinion for Dave and Mahoney? Then call and leave a message.
833-YO-DUMMY.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Hey, Mahoney, it's me, your gallbladder. You remember me. Everything was good until Dave tried to kill us and tore us asunder. Anyway, I heard about your weight loss journey. Just wanted to give you a call and say, keep up the good work, buddy. I'm proud of you. Also, you know, I'm a swollen disease organ, so Audrey, if you're into that sort of thing, hit me up. Or Chris, I'm a gallbladder. I can't be choosy.
Message deleted.
It was nice your gallbladder to phone in. It's been a little while since we've heard from him.
Welcome back. 15 years since we've been reunited. You know, it's been gone for quite a while.
And if you're not familiar with the story, Mahoney had just gotten a promotion. He had gotten a big morning show job.
Quadrupled my salary.
In San Diego. And so you were all excited. We actually went out to celebrate.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we may have had a bevy or two, maybe been overserved a touch.
Very
and,
overserved.
You know, we were still in our 20s.
Irresponsible
at that time.
Bartenders.
For sure. And, you know, somehow we ended up, like, in a slight sparring match in the street, you know, because we...
Well, we're watching a lot of UFC back then.
We're idiots. And I guess I kind of caught Mahoney with a little uppercut to the you know, rib cage or so, and his gallbladder didn't handle that so well, and so he almost died.
But wasn't it already rotting?
Yeah, it was his fault, for sure.
I thought that's what you said. The doctor said that he saved your life.
He did not. Where are you coming up with these
Dave,
fake
did you
stories?
Say that?
Dave said that.
Oh, I thought that fact. Dave was the doctor.
No, I had gallstones, and so one of the gallstones got stuck in a duct. And it, like, cut off the blood flow, and so it turned into gangrene, and they had to rush me into the emergency room.
Now, see, I'm not trying to victim blame or shame here, Mahoney, but the stones, do you think that those were caused by the 15,000 calorie day that you had where
that
you were drinking Mountain Dews?
That was prior to that.
Really?
It was. No, I was thin and I was broke back then, so I wasn't able to just freebase, fast food the way that I was after I started making a little bit more money.
See, if you were just fatter, it could have saved your gallbladder.
Is that what it was?
You had more cushion. Yes, it was your fault for being skinny.
But I will say, anybody who does not have a gallbladder, we don't get talked about enough. I know there's a lot of people out there who...
you feel like you're marginalized, you gallbladderless folk?
It's like...
Should we start a community for you guys?
You know what? You really are
and
a victim.
And our flag is just brown.
Yeah. Yes.
It's just a brown flag.
We'll put it on Facebook. So you guys can have somewhere to, your voices can be heard there.
Yeah. You can gather, share your stories.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Please leave a message after the tone.
Hey, guys, did you check out the Oscars?
Message deleted.
No, I think I did what most people did, which is watch clips online, look to the list, and went, that's pretty interesting. I mean, there were some big movies that obviously I was very familiar with. Normally, three out of the five Oscar contenders for Best Picture, I'm like, I've never heard of that movie.
Well, this year, we were just talking with our boss yesterday about this. I've saw more Oscar Best Picture nominees this year than I have in probably 20 years.
Cinema has found a really dramatic way to make a comeback.
Because they needed to.
They needed to. But I mean, I went to the movie theater, I told you guys a couple of weeks ago, to see Dune 2 when that first came out, and it was packed, like basically sold out. I can't remember the last time that I went to a sold out movie on, I think it was Friday or Saturday night, one of the two. And I mean, every seat in the theater was taken.
I think we're seeing a boomerang effect of quantity and quality, where all we get is fed just this kind of like mediocre, middling, streaming, straight to streaming style movies, where whenever we have these massive motion pictures that are really suitable kind of only for theater experiences, like Oppenheimer, like Dune, like people are going back to the theater again because we're kind of over sitting in our couch watching, you know, the lackluster version of that.
I think that I've decided that I don't want to spend 5 hours watching the actual Oscars. I'm interested. I'll just look at the list. I'll see the clips online of John Cena running around naked, whatever. You know, Jimmy Kimmel doing his thing. And then I'll consume movies because it's an actual production, but as far as like sitting there and just taking in 5 hours of whoever has the best sound design, like, I don't care.
I'm not, I love cinema. I love the history of movies, but I'm not sitting through an award show.
It's too much, man. It's too long.
The clips. Thank you, internet, for doing the job for me.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Do you have a guilty admission that your partners don't know about?
Message deleted.
Man, why would you ask us
Why would you do that?
Why would you?
Because you know we have to answer. You call the voicemail, 833-YO-DUMMY. You ask a question like that, we have to answer. So.
Who goes first?
You, Audrey.
No, you.
You.
Ladies first.
Ladies first.
We're gentlemen.
You want a gentleman.
Okay. Well, let me see what time it is. Okay, I'm in the clear. I secretly love having the bed to myself so that I can starfish and double whammy. I never sleep on my side of the bed because what is a side? I don't. Why did I get the left side? Well, I want the right side.
You do want the right side?
I do. I've always wanted the right side. But whenever I stayed over at my husband's house for the very first time.
Oh, he was on the right side?
He was on the, well, he literally kind of like pushed rolled over. Me over.
I mean, he's got a side. Everyone's got
he
a side.
He rolled me over. He was like, you are really cute and I like you a lot, but this, we can't do this. Like, pick me up and set me on the other side. I was like, oh, what the heck?
Can I suggest something? Like, why don't you go like, you know, since like being, you know, like all these like 1950s and 60s traditional things are coming back into the zeitgeist right now, like bust out like the Donna Reed style beds, the two beds next to each other like we used to see on TV when couples were married.
Like Bert and Ernie?
Well, yes. But or Donna Reed.
Okay. Guilty admission, Mahoney.
Oh, we're out of time, Dave.
Nope. Got the button right over here. Oh, is it heavy?
I spent $15,000.
On what?
DoorDash in 2023.
Oh my God, are you kidding me?
$15,000 on DoorDash in 2023? How many days?
I mean, he almost exclusively did DoorDash when he was eating all of his meals.
Only, because Mahoney doesn't cook.
I don't.
Wow, I got to do this math.
I mean, it's $40 a day.
Oh, whenever you say it like that, that's...
That's fine.
That's the girl mad at me.
I was doing the books because, you know, going over my expenditures and.
Okay, so since we're talking about monetary stuff,
because that's $280 in groceries for the week,
right?
I mean, man, the groceries inflation. You save money.
I save money.
You did. Yeah. Hey, that's, man,
that's and wild. Time. You're so efficient.
Yes.
Good for you.
Mine also has to do with money. It's is more of a gambling thing. I regularly will tell my wife about my wins, and I will never tell her about my losses. And if I had not refired on the Chiefs during the Super Bowl at +270, I would have lost like $7,500.
Oh, man.
I've been saving up.
But you know what? Your voices are heard this morning.
And you know
I
what,
hear
Dave?
You.
Dave, you know what? Nobody wants to hear about losers,
right?
Yeah. You're saving her.
So when my wife asked me if we'd won her money, because she could tell I was fairly invested in the game, if you will, I was like, it was a push. Because thanks to that refire, it was.
You know what? You believed in yourself. You didn't quit.
Me and Patrick Mahomes, all the way to the bank.
Dave and Mahoney.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Show.
So I am very excited, and I know that, Audrey, you're probably the same way. Maybe not so much you, Mahoney, but when you're planning something for somebody that you love and you care about, you really want it to go well, but it's also exciting for you. Like, one of my love languages is gift giving. Like, I really want my wife's 40th birthday, because it's a huge birthday, to be as special as possible. And I've told you that we're doing the 40 to 40, so every day she wakes up and there's a gift waiting for her from either from me or from one of the kids or from her mom or sister or one of her really good friends. Like, it's been great. And, you know, all of her friends and everyone that's participating, they're also very excited and have been excited about their things getting to her. But the countdown is on now. So, you know, her birthday is a couple of weeks away. And one of the big things that we're doing is we're going on a trip to Cabo. And we're going to have a bunch of friends that are going with us. And I've never done one of these themed things before, but I know that she loves that sort of thing. And one of our other friends suggested it. Again, not something that I would ever suggest or do, but they wanted to do two themed nights with all of the friend group that's going to be there.
Cute.
So one night is a mob wife night.
Okay, the mob wife aesthetic
is a big thing right now.
Yes.
And then there's another one, which is an all-white night.
That sounds racist.
It did sound racist. I realized shortly thereafter that they were talking about the clothes.
Oh, okay. Okay, there we go.
But, you know, you have, like, the white clothes. It's a beach setting. It makes
sense,
right?
If you're on a boat or
you're in Mexico, you're wearing white.
You're on vacation. Right. That's, like, you know, a very... chic thing to do.
I had just recently gone to Mexico myself, and my girlfriends were like, you have to bring white. Like, there was not even a theme, but it's just like thing, like...
It's a beach thing.
It's a beach thing?
I
don't know, man.
There is nothing that I hate more than light-colored shorts.
Fair.
Or pants,
especially,
man.
Especially if you're going to be drinking.
Yeah, like, or eating.
You don't trust
like,
yourself.
And you're eating out of the country, like, as a person without a gallbladder, you are
you're
playing
yourself,
dangerously,
man?
There.
It's possible.
Oh, bet on a fart and lose. Yeah. I mean, it's possible.
Yeah.
Well, it's just okay.
So you guys know me. I mean, I literally wear a black T-shirt and jeans every single day. Like, I'm not the sort of guy that would have a white linen suit just sitting around, because why on earth would I have that?
Right.
So I decided that I was going to buy one.
Okay.
And I purchased it on Amazon, because there's this one company that sells them, and I was like, I've heard that they do a good job with this sort of thing. Mm-hmm. They're comfortable, but they still look good. They were sold out. So I just went on Amazon. I was like, okay, this one's got some pretty good ratings. I bought it, arrived at my house yesterday. I put it on, and the reaction from my wife was different than any reaction that I've ever gotten when I tried something on. Because normally I'll try something on, and I feel like she does that thing where even if it doesn't look great, she'll be trying to gas me up a little bit, like, oh, yeah, it looks pretty good. Or if it does look really good,
she'll
then
tell you.
She'll tell me. And so I put it on, and I turned around, and she goes, you can return that, right?
Oh,
so wait, was
no.
this a full suit, or is this like shorts and like one of those like just like button-down shirts?
It was pants and then kind of like a Henley-style shirt, so it was like a long sleeve.
Oh, a Henley? And a white Henley?
Kind of. It just had like a little thing in
the... You didn't go with the collared shirt?
I should have.
Because I feel like that's the way to go. You unbutton it, unbutton it down to your navel.
Have your chain out.
And I went, so you don't like it? And she goes, it looks like you're in a cult. Take it back.
You're listening to Dave and Mahoney.
Let's all play the movie quote quiz. Let's all play the movie quote quiz. Let's all play the movie quote quiz on Dave and Mahoney.
Jeff is joining us today for a round of the movie quote quiz. And Jeff, I got to caution you, this game can be really frustrating. We've had a lot of contestants over the years that have told us, hey, when I'm playing in my car and I'm just listening, I easily get these. But when I'm actually on the spot, it can become a lot harder. So just with that in mind, we've got a total of four today. You get three out of the four, you're going to win. You got some lifelines if necessary. These are all big popular movies that you may have seen over the years. Just real quickly for reference, what is your favorite genre of movies? Do you like comedies? Do you like action movies? Rom-coms?
Yeah, I like comedies mostly.
Okay. Well, the first one here is going to take us all the way back to 1993, so over 30 years old at this point. Here we go.
I'm a god.
You're a god.
I'm a god. I'm not the god, I don't think.
Because you survived a car wreck? You folks ready to order?
I didn't just survive a wreck. I wasn't just blown up yesterday. I have been stabbed, shot, poisoned, frozen, hung, electrocuted, and burned.
Oh, really?
And every morning I wake up without a scratch on me, not a dent in the fender. I am an immortal.
Mm. Okay, Jeff, do you know that one big popular movie from 1993?
No, I must have missed that one.
Okay. I think either of us probably have it.
Okay. One of my absolute favorites. Allegedly, this took place over 10,000 years to get that day perfect.
Really?
And a lot of people don't know that Harold Ramis, a.k.a. Egon, from Ghostbusters, was the director of this. That is Bill Murray in Groundhog Day.
That's right. Groundhog Day.
Wow. Glad you didn't call on me. I wouldn't have got that.
Oh, you would have got it wrong?
Nope. Okay. Yep. I would have absolutely gotten that wrong. I thought that was the one where he was with Scarlett Johansson.
Lost in Translation.
Oh, really?
I haven't seen either of those movies, so I just was going to like shoot my shot.
Jeff, knowing that, have you seen Groundhog Day?
Never have seen Groundhog Day.
Me and you. Me and you, dude. Okay.
Watch it. It is a classic.
This is also another one that's called a classic by many people, taking us back to 1987. Mahoney is burnt as a lifeline. Here we go.
Hello. My name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die.
A little pitter-patter of feet.
Jeff, over to you. Do you know it?
Yeah, that's The Princess Bride.
There you go. It blew me away when I found out that Manny Patinkin, who plays that character in The Princess Bride, is the dude from Homeland. I was like, what are you talking about?
What are you doing here?
Because it was like a, 25-year gap or whatever until I saw Homeland, so he looks a lot different. But I'm like, he's the same guy. The same guy.
But I mean, just like older.
Yeah. Still looking for the six-fingered man.
All right, Jeff. You can win it right here if you get this one correct. Audrey's still available as a lifeline. This one is over 20 years old this year, 2003. Here we go.
As your leader, I encourage you from time to time, and always in a respectful manner, to question my logic. If you're unconvinced a particular plan of action I've decided is the wisest, tell me so. No subject will ever be taboo. Except, of course, the subject that was just under discussion. The price you pay for bringing up either my Chinese or American heritage as a negative is, I collect your f***ing head.
Oh. I think I might know based off of that last little clip there.
I've seen that movie. That's tough.
I don't know that one.
Jeff, do you know it?
Yeah, I hope Audrey knows that one because I don't.
Audrey,
should I
win.
Risk it? I mean, seriously, this is a shot in the absolute dark.
Or you can take the miss on this
one.
Did
I mention this movie earlier today?
Not this movie.
But I didn't. Is it Kill Bill?
Is that your final answer?
Yeah, man. Is it Kill Bill?
It is.
Dude, I...
Yeah. That is not the clip I would have got from that movie.
I just watched that movie 2 days ago.
You did?
I did, wow. And I'm so confused.
It's the Dave and Mahoney Show.
So we've talked a lot over the years about how much it would suck to be really rich and famous. And don't get me wrong, clearly there are perks to that sort of lifestyle. Like, everyone is constantly catering to you. But I can't imagine that for me personally, with how I know I like to live, that I would want the life of even somebody like a Brad Pitt or George Clooney.
Not even
close. Literally can't go anywhere without everyone fawning over you. Like, who really cares about you? Or are they just in it because they want their own clout?
You can't trust anybody.
They're waiting for you to screw up. They're constantly watching you while you're just trying to eat a meal. It just must be exhausting going everywhere and doing everything at that level of fame. But obviously, that comes with a whole bunch of money as well. And that's something that a lot of people seek because it's something that very few people get. Well, here's how you actually do it. Christopher Nolan, if you were to walk into this room right now, you know the name Christopher Nolan. He's a very famous director.
Probably the best director of the last 20 years when it comes to, major motion 30. Pictures.
Yeah, I mean, big action movies. I mean, Christopher Nolan is up there.
He kind of picked up where Steven Spielberg left off.
Yeah, I'd say that that's about accurate. I mean, if James Cameron had kept his foot on the gas, then, maybe you could make
there
an argument.
There wasn't 28 years between Avatars and Titanic and whatever.
Yeah. But Christopher Nolan, he did the film Oppenheimer. But if Christopher Nolan walked into this room right now, I would not know who Christopher
Nolan
is.
You wouldn't?
No.
I might be able
to. If you told me that's Christopher Nolan, I'm like, oh, yeah. Or if you said pick Christopher Nolan out of this
lineup. Christopher Nolan is the only other director other than, Scorsese and who did all the Kill Bill movies?
Tarantino.
The toe sucker. He'd be sucking toes. Those three I can pick out. No one else. Like, Coen Brothers, I don't know what you look like.
Those are my favorite movies ever. And I don't know what they... I know what one of them looks like.
Okay.
Right.
Those are the top three.
Again, there's a level of anonymity with being a director, but his payday, they're saying from Oppenheimer, $100 million.
Yeah, man.
Good.
I mean, it took you a really long time to see the movie. Have you actually finished it all the way through, Dave?
No, I have not, because I haven't found the time just yet. It's a long movie.
It is a long movie. It's a 3-hour-long movie, but it is probably the movie... Well, first of all, I love Cillian Murphy, but like that is probably in my top 3 movies that I've ever seen, ever, in my entire life.
So his compensation includes not just his salary, but also box office escalators, back-end compensation, and bonuses for the film's success. Almost $1 billion worldwide, $958 million. And Christopher Nolan is obviously a huge part of that. All-star cast as well, but if you have an all-star cast, we've seen plenty of those. If it's not done well as far as directing and with a big motion picture where you're investing that much money, it better be done right. And yeah, Christopher Nolan got paid $100 million.
Absolutely. Considering his track record right now, Dave, I mean, there's no other director who continues to put out hit after hit after hit. And not only hits, box office successes, and now Academy Award winning.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Show.
Yay!
Got a comment, complaint, or opinion for Dave and Mahoney? Call 833-YO-DUMMY.
Please record your message.
This is the voicemail.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Mahoney, are you seriously whining because you work 4 hours a day in a cushy job? Seriously? Really? Get a life.
Message deleted.
When have I ever complained about my job ever? I love this. This is my dream. I'm living the actual dream of what I wanted to do when I was a little kid.
You have made comments, though, recently about leaving it all on the field.
I do.
Not being able to perform beyond the 4 hours.
It's not my fault that our company and radio in general sets to traditionally 4 hours.
That is the ratings
period
for
awards. So I know, Dave, you know, it's like much like if you were driving in an endurance race, you know how much is in the gas tank. And I make sure to leave that bitch on E at the end of every show. That's not complaining. That is a man performing to his finest.
So when does today's performance start? Or is it already underway?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I just didn't know if, like, we should be waiting for something or, you know, like with a concert, you know, when somebody's performing, they have, like, the hit songs, like, they'll play a hit 3 songs in and then, like, they'll have the last song and then they'll wait for the standing ovation or the encore and then they come out with another smash hit. Like, should we be waiting for something like that or are you just, like, sprinkling the hits throughout?
But that's... Can we also just talk about how lame that is, the forced encore, when you haven't played your biggest hits, and you're like, and you leave the stage?
I saw someone call it adult peekaboo.
For real. Like, we know you're going to play you haven't played your biggest hit, and also, we know you're coming back.
The roadie is out there resetting the guitars. Like, we've been to enough concerts now where we know if the lights are still dim and the roadie's out there tuning stuff up, you're coming back out.
Mm-hmm.
And yet somehow we have to play this little charade just to make sure you feel loved. Got it.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Yeah, I just heard about the band. I could totally picture Dave playing the cowbell.
Message deleted.
I will take that as a compliment. I was a percussionist. I played drums. Not so well. But I played drums in my band when I was in high school.
Awesome.
And so cowbell, I feel like it's kind of hard to be mad at the cowbell player.
I see more of a xylophone kind of guy.
That's an unnecessary thing to say. I don't.
The xylophone can be pretty awesome, though.
I wasn't meaning it as a hate. I just see you being the xylophone guy.
That means that you think I'm a bitch. There's no badass xylophone players.
Sure, there are.
No, there's not. You can't be a badass when you've got foam covered mallets.
Well, I don't see you being the guy who's carrying around the bass, like the bass drum. You can't do that.
The bass drum? You think I'm in a marching band?
I mean, if we're creating a band that's on the move. If we're a vagabond band.
What are we, buskers? What do you mean?
I thought that's what we were talking about. This voicemail was talking about just how we were going to be.
Let me play the cowbell.
Dave's, we were going to be bridge.
Everyone likes the cowbell.
We're going to be a bridge band.
Dave's got the big bass drum, the little cymbals between his knees, the accordion between his butt cheeks. He's a one-man band.
I don't need you guys.
Please leave a message after the tone.
This is a question for the guy who has 6 kids, the man that wears Tommy Bahamas, and that random girl off to the side that doesn't really do much. But if y'all guys had any mythical creature as a pet, what mythical creature would you want?
Message deleted.
First off, don't know why you had to insult all of us and get everything wrong. But right. Okay, it's easy for you.
Oh, yeah.
What mythical creature would you have?
Yeah. I want a unicorn, but instead of a horn, an adult toy on the on top.
So you're taking a mythical creature and then customizing it to be a galloping sex
toy.
You
can't take it to Chop Shop, man. You can't put spinners on your unicorn.
Do you have one, Audrey?
I do.
What is it?
It would be probably like a bridge, speaking of bridges, like a bridge troll that I would have to like have him like come around with me to have people answer these riddles three before approaching me and asking me things, or like before you like have to send me a DM. Like it would have to be like, what's a bear with no teeth? You
must answer this.
Yes. You must answer these riddles three before having the conversation with me. So it would be a bridge troll. That would be mine.
For me, it's easy. It's Bigfoot, and it's exclusively because I want to be constantly followed around by Jose Canseco in an RV.
Okay.
This is the David Mahoney Show.
So there have been so many stories as of late about these kids that will run into a store, whether it's Sephora or a department store like Nordstrom, and they'll just rob the place blind. And I've always kind of questioned, like, what really is the upside? Like, how much are you really getting away with if you steal some bag or some makeup or whatever? How much are you really getting for that on the secondary market? And is it worth the risk of that? It just seems like there's probably not a lot of thought into that part of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I've always questioned, like, financially, how much upside can there really be? Can you make a living doing that?
Well, I mean, if you're looking at the people in California who are stealing, like, YSL bags, I would assume that there is an upside to that, but not to Sephora.
So in this case, this is interesting because we kind of found a kingpin of all of this, and it is a wealthy California woman, 53 years old. Her name is Michelle Mack. She's been accused of orchestrating a nationwide shoplifting operation involving hundreds of stores over the last decade. So they were dubbed the California Girls, and she allegedly coordinated a group of operatives who stole millions of dollars worth of makeup and clothes and then shipping it all to her house in California and then selling it on Amazon.
Oh, because so she's drop shipping.
Yes.
Whoa.
Isn't that nuts?
That is insane. Well, because I mean, truly, whenever you're buying things on Amazon, you have the ability as a third party to do just that. If you have, which she had to have some capital in order to even become one of these individuals to sell on Amazon, first of all.
Well, here's what we know so far is that they busted her at her $3 million mansion in California. So there's that.
Well,
I say $3 million.
Depends on what part of, if it's in Chino, sure, it's a mansion. But if it's in like L.A. or San Diego or San Francisco,
1,700
it's
square feet.
She's not living uncomfortably. Yeah.
She's fine.
Right.
I saw a picture of it. Very, very nice house.
Okay.
But
incredible.
Her, along with her husband and seven other defendants, faced multiple felony charges. They were paying airfare and travel and like flying these girls in for these coordinated hits. And it was a diabolical web.
I mean, that's the mafia. She created her own. I mean, that is wild. She created her own little orc. That's the mafia.
So let me ask you this, though, because I feel like the fact that she's able to just sell this stuff on Amazon without any checks and balances, like, Amazon used to be phenomenal when things were just coming from Amazon, but now with all the other shippers and so many other, like, things on there, I find myself using it less and less because I don't know if the quality or if maybe I'm even getting a stolen good now.
Now, dude. Now that I know that I can get a stolen YSL bag on Amazon, I'm logging on right now.
Woo.
I don't think they sell them for that much cheaper, though.
$8 million in total is what they netted. They made $8 million over the past
decade. Was she at least paying taxes on, or are they going to go after her for taxes, too?
Throw the book at him. And you lock Wesley Snipes up for not paying his taxes?
Mm-hmm.
You best lock up Michelle Mack.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Show. Glitz, glamour, and out-of-touch celebrities. Well, that's redundant. It's Pop Trash. I'm Dave and Mahoney.
Owen Wilson, the most recent major star to head over to Apple TV for new programming for them. And Mahoney, I feel like it's been a minute. I mean, with the success of Happy Gilmore, you would have thought that over the years we would have had more golf comedies because, I mean, that's Adam Sandler, sure, but there just hasn't been a lot.
Tin Cup with Kevin Costner, but those are like it.
Yeah.
The Legend of Bagger Vance, even though that wasn't a comedy or a very good movie, and we hate Will Smith now, so.
This is a series, so this isn't going to be a movie, but it's going to star Owen Wilson, and Jason Keller is the creator of it. So Wilson is going to portray a former professional golfer who finds himself working at a sporting goods store after getting fired.
Oh.
And then he has to re-enter the golf world. He starts mentoring a 17-year-old prodigy. And I feel like, you know,
I like the premise of this. And also I could see Owen Wilson as a washed-up former golfer.
Yeah.
Like, just in general. Like, he has that look.
I'm looking down the list here of the executive producers. They're all kind of big, heavy-hitting names in Hollywood, so there's going to be a lot of money behind it, I imagine. And any time that Apple TV Plus does an original series and brings in a big star, they tend to do it pretty well.
I have yet to find an Apple series that I just could not stand. There's some that I'm like, okay, this is fine.
Like some of the space stuff, I'm not like big into that, you know, the sci-fi.
Sure.
Silo, Shrinking, Ted Lasso, Masters of the Air that's on right now.
Severance.
But I will say,
Less
though,
is a chemistry.
They do sci-fi very well.
Yeah.
It cost a ton of money to
they
make those
so
movies and shows. Yep. And if you've got the backing, if you're going to be a company who is known for making sci-fi content and doing it well, Apple is probably the top to do it right now.
Do Stephen King movies still carry the same weight that they did?
Sure. I mean, It.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, okay,
yeah,
sure.
That was
a big hit.
Yeah.
They're remaking Pet Sematary, I believe. I mean, Stephen King is still, I think when it comes to horror writer names, he's still the biggest name in the genre, even though we're not seeing Stephen King movies as often as we did.
Yeah, I mean, like Blumhouse Productions, like they're regularly turning
sure,
out
but
like
that,
big
that, like
kind
you
of
don't think about that. You think Stephen King when you think horror, you know? I mean, Blumhouse has done some really great, especially like new horror.
Right. Well, Stephen King has a new movie coming out. It's the film adaptation of Salem's Lot, and it was going to be released in theaters.
Right.
Now, Max has scooped up the rights to it. So formerly HBO Max, now Max. This marks the third adaptation of the book following the film in 1979. Yeah. Then there was, in 2004, I believe, a TV miniseries around
Salem's Lot. I mean, when you talk about classic horror, you know, this is one of the best, and the fact that Max is picking it up now.
You know, you have Max and you already subscribe, you're getting it for free.
And you got to think about this, too. There's a whole new generation of people who grew up with horror who don't know necessarily the story or know Stephen King, so could introduce them to it.
And finally, Neve Campbell is back for Scream number 7. So I guess she was refusing to return to the franchise because there was a pay discrepancy a couple of years ago. But she announced the news on Instagram expressing excitement for reprising her role as Sidney Prescott.
And I finally got to kill her in this movie?
You have to. You're 7 in.
What are we
you're
doing
seven.
Here? What are we doing?
Everyone has died around you, and somehow you're fine.
Uh-huh.
But she is returning. So if you're a big Scream fan,
cool.
Number 7's on the way.
You're listening to Dave and Mahoney. This is the Dave and Mahoney Show.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Show.
Mahoney, I believe that your love language for both you and your wife is quality time. And so when you guys get to spend time together, you really enjoy it. This week, she's in town all week because of spring break. And so you guys are spending a lot of time together. And you would think that would be a good thing.
It is a good thing. I would say most of the time, Dave, but I got a text yesterday.
You about to get yourself in trouble?
No, I'm not getting a text from, I'm not getting myself in trouble, but I got a text from my group of guys who I game with. Mm. You know, there's 5-6 of us on this thread.
Yeah.
And, you know, like whenever we're jumping on or somebody wants to play, we just throw it out there, throw the bat signal out, see if anybody wants to play. Somebody will jump on if they can or whatnot.
Do you guys say, game on?
Our friend J Love, he hit me up. He said, "Hey, are we shooting today?" And I responded with, "Hey, I think I'm out the rest of this week since my wife is in town visiting." So
you're going to just abandon your bros like that?
Well,
wow.
Friendship. He calls me while my wife and I are out on a walk.
Well, this is important.
And
you can't just leave him. You're the leader of the squadron.
Well, and he starts bagging on me. He's like, "How are you going to send that text to all your boys?" I'm like, I love my wife. I love that I'm able to spend some time with my wife right now. And he starts dogging in on me.
Well, but to be fair, though, this gentleman also has a wife who travels for work.
Right.
And so he's kind of familiar with the idea that
you're
also...
And she's out of town right now.
So you would think that he would actually understand the most, because like when she's there...
He's not on.
He's not on, right?
He's not jumping on.
So exactly. He's just teasing you.
Well... I flipped that bitch on him because I was literally walking with my wife at that moment because she's making me not die and exercise.
Mm-hmm.
And so I put him on speakerphone and handed the phone to my wife.
Hey.
Oh, really? How did that go?
His tone changed pretty dramatically. So quickly.
Hey, what's up? Sorry. Sorry about that.
Oh, yeah. No, I was just kidding, man.
He can play later. That's like one of those things whenever you got to ring on the doorbell of your best friend's house whenever you're a kid and you came a little too early.
Yeah.
You know, like the people who had, like, you can't come before 11 a.m. thing, yeah, and it's, yeah, like 10:30 and they send you back and you got to, like, walk back to
sheepishly
home
walk
with
back,
your tail tucked.
Yeah. Oh, that never happened to me. Oh, that would be devastating.
Yeah, man, where it's like, can little Timmy come out and play? Man, it's a 9 a.m. Go home. Absolutely not. So that was our friend J-Love yesterday on the phone.
It was. And so, you know, I'm showing my wife that, again, I do. I love spending time with her, especially, you know, living apart. The time that we do have is important to me.
Did a little piece of you miss the boys, though?
It's okay. It's, yeah, okay.
No, you know it's okay.
It'll,
like,
be there. Uh-huh. It'll be there when she leaves.
What if they're not? What if they move on? What if they add a new colonel to the squad?
Man, I'm the best one on the squad.
That's why they were freaking out that you wouldn't play.
They're not replacing me. I'm irreplaceable. Uh-huh. So I make this big show in front of my wife.
Yes.
You know, there's this presentation. You know, I do that.
Yes.
And then we get back to the house. And, you know, we, like, one of the things we like to do is just, like, you know, like, near the end of the night, we'll get in bed and we'll, like, wind down, watch a TV show or two.
Sure.
And then go to sleep.
Yep.
And she got so mad at me after I professed my love and forsook my boys because I put on this show on FX called Shogun.
Dude, it's so
which
good.
I have been telling her to watch for 2 weeks now.
Oh, and she's not caught up?
But you thought because you professed your love that you were just going to be able to...
She has not watched in 2 weeks, and I told her, and I told Audrey about this too, and Audrey is on the Shogun trade on FX. It is so good.
It is so good. There's only four episodes.
Yep. And the fourth episode dropped on Tuesday night. And so I'm like, oh, there's a new episode. It pops up right on the front of my, like, what to watch.
Well, because you'd already made your sacrifice for the day. Now she was just going to have to suffer through your show, and even though she has no idea what's going
and
on.
She looked at me like I was crazy when I put it on. And I'm like, well, we could just watch the recap of what happened, and I can tell you what happened. You could jump into episode 4.
Or I could go play my game with my friends.
So what did you have to watch in lieu? Because I'm sure you opted out and you were upset.
Well, she's like, I'll just be on my phone for... She just said, I'll just be on my phone for...
Wait, so you actually watched the show?
I watched like 7 minutes of it.
And then you felt bad?
And then she did... And I just like, all right.
Hey, man, but there was some sexy time in this episode. It could have been a little foreplay.
You know, so...
That was the 7 minutes.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Show.
Please leave a message after the beep.
Do you have a comment, complaint, or opinion for Dave and Mahoney? Then call and leave a message.
833-YO-DUMMY.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Hey, guys. Grew up in rural Minnesota myself, up in a place called Saginaw near Duluth. What kind of fish do you guys like? Freshwater fish. I like crappie and walleye.
Oh, yeah.
Anyways, another thing is, sometimes I wake up grumpy. Other times, I'll let her sleep. Have a good day. Love the show.
Message deleted.
First off, that is like the most Minnesota call we've ever gotten, is somebody calling up and be like, hey, what's your favorite fish?
Well, like, he named it crappie.
Crappie is my favorite fish as well.
What my grandfather had a dock down the Lake of the Ozarks, and he would get
old Pappy Pap.
Yeah. Old Pawpaw had lived down at the lake, and he would get his year's worth of crappie in like a day.
Wow.
And then just fish fry all summer long.
We used to do that almost. I have such fond memories of crappies and growing up in Brainerd, because like my dad and I used to go out in the evenings, and we would have the Minnesota Twins, which that was in their heyday. They won the series in 87, 91, the Kirby Puckett era.
Mm-hmm.
And we would have the Twins on the AM radio, and we'd just be out there fishing for crappie almost every single evening. And we'd come home, and if we had a good catch, we would actually cook them up that night, you know, fillet them right there and, you know, batter them up and put them in the pan. And that's what we would eat for a few days. But yeah, great memories.
This
Thanks
is to going to be probably a knock against me, but I do not have the patience for fishing. My grampy loved taking me fishing. I like deep sea fishing because that's a whole activity when you're out on the ocean. But as far as fishing goes, there's a lot of sitting still that my ADHD does not allow.
I know what you're saying, but my theory on this is that you were doing it when you were too young because you're missing a key component, which is the cooler full of beer.
Mm-hmm.
But the music, though, I would need music if I'm also.
You can have music.
Yeah, your voice didn't scare the fish. That was just your parents' or grandparents' way of telling you, shut up.
Yeah. Don't move and don't talk.
Oh, my gosh.
Otherwise, we don't eat.
That makes so much more sense.
Please leave a message after the tone.
I've never let school interfere with my education.
Message deleted.
Are you like one of those dudes who has School of Hard Knocks for your education on your Facebook page? Probably, right?
Like, again, here's the thing. If you like school, good for you. If you didn't like school, good for you. Don't judge other people for what works for them.
I did not like school.
I did not like school because I didn't like the authority, the teachers behind it. Yeah. You know what I mean? I love documentaries. I love learning on my own. Yeah. I don't like learning about things that don't interest me, which is like all of lower academia. Like all of like your basic, like your first 2 years of college. Why am I a communications major who is going to study broadcasting and I need to learn calculus?
The thing that makes algebra. Me happiest in life is that calculus and algebra did prove to be a total waste of time.
And an art class in literature?
Maybe not algebra. You're right. I'm not.
Calculus. Put sine, cosine, and tangent. Yeah,
we're not with that nonsense.
Not once.
I do say cosine a lot.
I remember when that song by Stone Temple Pilots, Half a Man, I Used to Be, came out, and it was when Lorena Bobbitt cut that dude, you know, off. And that song went back to number one for like weeks.
Message deleted.
Do we think there was a direct correlation there? Was it because Lorena Bobbitt lopped off John Bobbitweeny that Stone Temple Pilots had a resurgence on the charts?
I don't think that's what it was, and I don't know if it went back to number one, but...
I like the lore. I like the, this is kind of the, this is a old wives' tale.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, this is kind of like how we started rumors as kids.
By the way, if you're not familiar with the story, because Mahoney and I actually met him several times in Las Vegas, John Bobbitt.
Could you tell a part of him was missing?
No, he got a new one put on, and he actually did some adult films afterwards.
It was the same one.
I was going to say, a new one.
Why would you put the same one back on?
They found it.
Give me a bigger one.
Because she, it might be off color.
The same one.
The story was, she...
a little bit more pink.
Because he was an abusive guy, and she, when he was drunk, she... and then left, and then like tossed it out like on a...
It was like in a cornfield or something, right?
It was in Las Vegas. So
it was?
I think it was. Oh. So it was like out on a street corner.
Off on a cornfield. They're like, hey, man, where's this?
They found it, and then they reattached it. But yeah, now that guy's a piece of garbage.
I didn't know he was an abuser because this whole time, is him and his the lack of ween.
That's why you're like, you know what? Like, if you're going to beat your wife,
better not have any scissors in the house.
Right.
Dave and Mahoney. You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Show.
You know, there's a lot of douchebags in the world, but I think we might have found the biggest one.
Oh, yeah?
It's pretty hard to imagine. You know, I mean, outside of, like, you know, people that actually, like, do, like, evil, as far as, like, just being a clown and dislikable things, this guy is up there. So, first off, he owns a Lamborghini yacht.
That's a thing?
That's a thing. So you haven't seen like Conor McGregor?
Oh, is this Conor McGregor?
It's not Conor McGregor. No, this guy is like Conor McGregor, but doesn't have any of the attributes like being a showman and a fighter and all that stuff.
Right.
I guess he's known. His nickname is Ace.
Okay.
Ace Rogers. He owns a $4.5 million Lamborghini yacht, and he lives in San Diego. He was caught on video allegedly threatening a dock worker and then whipping out his junk. And you're like, okay. So what happened was he pulled his $4.5 million Lamborghini boat up to this marina, and they, for whatever reason, told him, hey, you can't park here, whether it was full, the spot was taken by somebody else, whatever it was. But of course, Ace, as you may imagine, in his $4.5 million Lamborghini boat, a touch entitled, Audrey, just a touch entitled.
Just a touch.
Felt like nobody could tell him no, right?
Yes.
And so he decided he was going to threaten this worker. He was going to whip out his actual junk.
Weird.
While he's standing on the back of his boat and start like spinning it around while he's like cursing and slowly driving away.
If a man started helicoptering their doinker and that was supposed to be perceived as a threat, I would actually be cracking up and losing my mind. Like, what do you mean that that's your first initial reaction?
Yeah.
For anger?
For not being able to park your boat in a spot at a marina as you're going to whip out your ding-a-ling and start doing a helicopter while yelling curse words. And
what do you use your ding-a-ling to propel in the water away from the area that you're supposed to be?
And you know what you say if you're that dock worker? That one's too small. Throw it back.
That's the smallest dock I've seen.
Is that bait?
So what's funny is that he actually, shockingly, unlocked another level of douchebaggery above this.
Oh, that gets even worse.
It gets even worse.
How so?
Outside of the cursing and the helicoptering of the wiener, he was also taking handfuls of money and throwing it into the water. Just to show how rich he is.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, this is not the first time that this guy, Mr. Ace Rogers, has had a run-in with people. I guess there's some accusations of harassment at a local pizza eatery. Who knows why he freaked out there?
What does he do?
A civil lawsuit ongoing there. I don't know. But whatever it is, don't do that, kids. If you turn into this guy, like, this is such new money behavior. Like, what are you doing driving around in a $4.5 million boat and you have to worry about parking? Like, you should, if you're that rich, you should have people that have to worry about that for
exactly.
you. Exactly. Hey, man, I'm going to say this, and I mean it with my full chest. If I saw that guy throwing money off of his boat, I would be like Shamu. I would be right behind that boat. I was trying to catch every $100 bill.
Audrey's out there in her kayak just trying to scoop it up with that little oar. It is not beneath
me. I have no pride left.
That's a wrap. Well, it's about time. Follow the Dave and Mahoney Show on social media at Dave and Mahoney.
At Dave and Mahoney.
They're everywhere.
Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Instagram.
Listen anytime and on demand at DaveandMahoney.com.